Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners.
Okay. Welcome, family, to Living in a Yes with Reverend Dr. Deborah L. Johnson. I am Celeste Morgan, and every Tuesday night it's my honor to welcome you to the sacred moment. Tonight, Rev D is going to be talking about divine order. And what a great way to start the show with the Agape Choir, the light chant. Be in the light. You can find that magical song at agapevibes.com. Every Tuesday night, Reverend D takes us on a journey to take a fresh look at spiritual qualities. You are welcome to join a conversation. Or if you have a question on your heart, don't be shy. Call in 347-426-3346. And don't forget to press 1 on your keypad. We also have another host on the network, in the Wings, who will surely join us, Life Coach Today as well. But for now, family, without further ado, please welcome Reverend Dr. Deborah L. Johnson. Welcome, Rev D. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing fine. Celeste, how are you doing?
I'm feeling really good tonight.
Good.
And I'm looking forward to what you have to share about divine order, because I've been feeling out of order a lot these days. I order.
Yes, divine order. And I know people are always wondering, what in the world is that, and how do you know when you see it? Well, the first thing I'd like to say about divine order is that I'm talking about divine order, okay? That so often when we think of order, we think of the processes and the procedures, the schemas, the policies that we put in mind that follow certain patterns that, according to us, are logical. Very big difference in what we call divine order and what we think of normally as order. When we put things into order on just a human level, the reason why we're putting it into order most of the time is so that we can control it. Everybody just take a breath on that for a second. That most of our setting things into order, control, around predictability, manageability. We want to take the guesswork out of it. We want something that's sure, that can be replicated. Part of order for us on just the human plane in our mind sort of empowers us to be able to get ahead of things, so to speak. Things are in the order that we've put them in, and we don't feel as disadvantaged. And sometimes when we're doing that, the order that we establish is good for us, but may not necessarily be good for somebody else. A lot of the order that we have set up in society, for example, has unlevel playing fields, has set up systems where some people are held in more esteem than other people. And once again, that allows for a certain degree of control. We don't have to worry about splitting the pie too many different ways because not everybody's going to be able to get a slice. And that's still order, fine order. Divine order is inclusive. Divine order has a win-win for everybody. Divine order is not stuck on your comfort zones. And there's certainly nothing about divine order that puts you in the driver's seat with the sense that you can control everything. Breathe on that. When divine order is taking place, it does not mean that you have been given the keys to the car, or even the map, for that matter. Sometimes when divine order is taking place, you're wondering, is there a car? and will you even be allowed in it? When divine order is taking place, there is something natural, there is something organic that is trying to birth itself. In divine order, there is a way in which everything is working together. There are no missing pieces. There aren't any extra parts. That everything has a place. And not only does everything have a place, but in divine order, it's all working together for good. This is the benevolent good. This is the good of Scripture and Genesis. This is, and God said it was good. It's not just constitutionally good, like a good chair or something like that, but good in the sense that it is going to be a benefit to all. So built in a divine order and how divine order works is a certain restorative property where things start to get off balance or a little bit out of sync, there are these internal processes in place that help to bring it back to order, to bring it back to center. So it can't get too far out before something brings it back into alignment. Divine order is not something that we can orchestrate, but it is something we can usher in. There's a big difference. We can't unilaterally create it, but we can make certain that it has space to be. Much like the relationship of a farmer or a gardener is in to their plants. You can't really make is to make certain that you have facilitated an environment that is conducive to the plant growing. You don't make the plant grow. You just make sure that there aren't things stunting its growth. You have tilled the soil. You've cleared out the weeds. You've removed the stumbling blocks. You've helped to create some fertility. To catch that, some fertility. So there's all kinds of soil out there, but not all soil is going to produce. The soil is very fertile. Divine order helps to create that fertile soil. When there is divine order, you don't have to micromanage everything. You don't have to live in fear. You don't have to feel like the whole world is on your shoulders. And when you're living in divine order, you don't have the victim consciousness that everybody or everything or some people or something somehow or another are out. You don't have the sense that you have to beg and that you have to plead with a merciless God just for your due. When you're rolling with that sense of divine order, somehow you know that there's a divine design out there that leans towards the beneficial, that leans towards fulfillment, that leans towards grace and ease and joy. Because everything in the universe multiplies. When there is divine order, there is a certain degree of sustainability that comes with it. What arises out of divine order has its own ways of being able to continue on. It's self-generating. So say, for example, if there's a relationship between the two of us, and the relationship is out of order, and I'm really pushing. I'm pushing my agenda in this relationship. We like to say the consciousness that obtains sustains. The consciousness that obtains sustains. So if the two of us is going to get resolved by your just simply giving in and acquiescing to me, not putting forth your desires or your wishes, you just kind of cave in, so to speak, well, guess what? You've just now established a relationship that's built on caving in. That relationship isn't even going to make it. Both of you are standing in your power because its fundamental roots are this imbalance, someone caving in to the ideas of another. However, if you let divine order come in and set the stage for this relationship, then what you will find is that there's a new level of mutual respect. There's ways that you come to understand that each of you is an intricate part of the whole, bringing something to the table that's complementary, not just complementary, that somehow or another your difference and my difference, differences among us, aren't just a problem that has to be dealt with, that there's something purposeful in it, there's something useful in it, there's something valuable in it, there's something beneficial in it. So when I'm calling forth the divine order, there's a part of me then that's willing to see more than I would ordinarily see. I'm not going to get stuck on the appearances. I'm not going to get stuck on my judgments about how things ought to be or what's going on that shouldn't have been or any of the rest of that. When I allow myself to get a sense of a divine order, I know that no matter what it is that's going on, there is a way that God will use it for the highest and the best. One of the letters in my series, Letters from the Infinite, actually Volume 1, The Sacred Yes, speaks of this. And I want to leave you with this image before I open it up for some dialogue here. It was talking about Scripture, and it was saying that we often say, you reap what you sow. What it really says and what the intention was, not so much you reap what you sow, like a tit for tat, but as you sow, so shall you reap. That the manner in which you sow becomes the manner in which you reap. So how you go about getting things is going to deeply impact and predetermine how you receive these very things. Distinction between the seed itself and the sowing of the seed, that those are two different things. There's the seed and there's the harvest. The seed at the beginning, the harvest at the end. But then there is the sowing, the process of planting the seed, and the reaping, the process of gathering the harvest. So don't confuse the seed and the harvest, the sowing and the reaping. So the seed and the harvest, that's mine. That's mine. The sowing and the reaping is what you do with it. But because all of the seeds are mine, then regardless of how you sow or reap anything, there is always some good that can come out of it because the seeds are mine. And even if the good that comes out of it is no more than the lesson that just should never be done again. that even that may be the lesson. And I remember thinking about this this idea of a divine order that just trumps everything, a divine order that is intricate like a seed, and that no matter what it is that we do or how it is that we use it, that we can't mess it up. And Spirit gave me this analogy of birth, of human birth, that every human being is precious. Every baby is precious, regardless of the sewing, regardless of how the consummation took place, the conception took place, regardless of whether it was rape or molestation or even incest or any of these other, like, just out of wedlock or these terrible things, you know, these things that we can think of that might be going on, that the baby itself, that the human being that's created is so precious. And when you think about all the drama that goes on, you know, whatever, their parents are gay, they're interracial, they're, you know, May, December, you know, generation gap between them, two generations gap between them, like whatever the drama is, one's Catholic, one's Muslim, the other one's a Jew and a pagan, whatever the story is, there's a divine order that's taking place. That no matter what it is that we're doing with the stuff of the world, that the universe has a way of pulling it all together and make something beneficial out of it. And if we can just remember that, we won't stress so much all the time about, quote, unquote, doing the right thing. We won't stress so much about where is it going to come from or where the resources are going to be. There'll be this certain something within us that'll be like a gardener, knowing that every divine idea is like a plant, that every divine idea is like a seed. It comes with its own divine order. It comes with its own supply. Our job isn't to make the plant. It's to create the space that can unleash what that plant is already intending to be. When we move around in the world with a sense of divine order, this is what life looks like to us. There's some part of us that recognizes that things are working out. Things are coming together in ways that we can't even imagine or even orchestrate. That it isn't our job to micromanage, our job to make sure that we are fertile enough, that our environment is fertile enough to be able to produce some really good fruit. That's our job. Let's take a breath. Let's have everybody take a breath. And I know we're getting close to a break time here. My lovely host.
Yes, we are close to break time, Rev D. And it's a powerful illustration that our job is only to be fertile. Mm-hmm. It removes the heavy lifting in a lot of ways that humanity has puts on itself when we pay attention to how you express it. I'm wondering about the tools and the practices that we can use to make sure that we are fertile. Or am I trying to give myself more work?
No, you're not. We'll come back to that.
Okay. Oh, she's got something for me on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Please go ahead and tell them some more about where they can find you and your powerful teaching that's coming up.
Surely.
Yes. Right now.
You can find me at my own website, www.deborah, that's the long way, D-E-B-O-R-A-H, Johnson, .org. Or you can tune in and catch me through a lot of the wonderful things that are happening with my ministry, www.innerlight, L-I-G-H-T, ministries.com. And sure, drop us a line, check us out. Wonderful things that are going on.
Well, that is wonderful. I'm going to give them a little bit more about a class that you're starting tomorrow.
Thank you.
Unless you'd like to. Wish I was in California, and I don't know if you're going to be streaming this.
Well, you know what? We are working on that. So anybody that's interested, yeah. What we're doing is we're setting the class up on a certain platform.
Mm-hmm.
Where you can get the link to it, and that way you have access to all the materials that everybody else has. We'll be videotaping through that platform, and it'll be archived as well.
That is amazing. So
yes.
The seven-week class that you have starting tomorrow,
yes.
Wednesday, October 1st,
yes.
Until November 12th, at Inner Light Ministries, is called Using Your Spiritual Toolkit. So there may be an opportunity for people to actually view those classes.
Mm-hmm. And I know it's late for people on the East Coast, but it will be happening live. For those who want to do it live, you'll also be able to check it out later on.
That is amazing. And since I still have you here, we're mm-hmm. going to do it this way, but I love how this is unfolding divine order. You often get questions about people coming to you to have one-on-one time.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that you offered that in the summer, and then you're also going to be continuing in the fall.
Yes.
People's very own sessions with Reverend Dr. Deborah L. Johnson.
Yes.
And they actually have a choice
mm-hmm.
in how they want to interact with you.
That's
really
true.
Powerful. Tell us a little bit more about that, Rev. D.
Yeah, so we can do with the sessions whatever it is that people want to do. If they want guidance or counseling, we can do that. Coaching. Some people are using it more for like business planning, you know, strategic planning, or perhaps visioning. I'm really not attached. Sometimes people get a word, they get a spirit letter, you know, directly for them as a result of being in the sessions. There have been some people, honestly, who have come and we have spent the majority of the time just in the deepest and most profound meditation that you could ever imagine. And just being in each other's presence and letting spirit catapult us, you know, someplace else. It doesn't matter where you are. We can do it via Skype or telephone if people can't be here in person. And I tell you, it has been an incredibly powerful experience for me. It really, really has been. And you can participate. Right now we're selling it, the sessions, in a package of three. We can make other arrangements for you if you like other arrangements, but it usually takes a good three sessions for people to get solid in whatever that is that's the matter or the concern, you know, of their heart. And you can spread them out, the sessions, between now and the end of the year. Yeah. And I think you have the URL there on your website. Is that correct?
I think we have the innerlightministries.org just to start off, and I know when you go down to the bottom of the page on the left-hand side, you'll see your own sessions.
Yes.
With Reverend D.
Yes.
Which is really powerful. I'll make sure I put that in the chat room.
Yeah, please
do. You know, I love how this happened because I can, you know, read what it's like, but having you add your voice to it and give people something to be excited about. It's just such a gift.
Yeah.
You know, divine order is what it is, and it's surrendering to it. It's
one of the things
to have you talking about it.
One of the things that we've been doing, and I want to say thank you to the host and some of the regular listeners of this program who've been participating in it. There's a program that we call We Circulate.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a very simple program. We just call it See, Thank, Share. It's a way of paying it forward, of noticing all of the wonderful good that's come your way, expressing some gratitude for it, and then tithing 10% of that. And just from the monies that have come in to the ministry from that, there have been about 30 people. It's been a small number, but a very faithful 30. Just everyday stuff. Nobody's gotten anything big or flagrant. That group in the past 6 months has manifested over $115,000 of unexpected income. That's just extra stuff, things coming your way that you didn't even imagine simply by working these principles. And they've tithed 10% of that to the ministry. We're going to be continuing in that practice on Wednesday evenings with your spiritual toolkit. That there is a session, a section in every session where we just share about the wonderful thing that had been happening with us and make a contribution.
Mm-hmm.
And it's extraordinary. And even if people are tithing to someplace else, they let us know so that we can keep a record of that. And I tell you, it is just a phenomenal experience to be part of this massive energy of experiencing the goodness of God everywhere, and then the power, the joy of being able to bless somebody else with it. I tell you, it's something.
Well, I know Life Coach today would love to come in and step in and say hello as well.
Yeah, please.
Even wings. There he is. Hey, Life Coach today. Welcome. Say hi to Rev D.
He's silly. Hello, Reverend D. How are you doing?
I'm fine, and you?
Oh, God, I'm good. And, you know, I'm laughing here because I found myself just thinking, yeah, it is like gardening. And I start thinking, oh, maybe I need to start having, because I've thought of the idea of gardening. And then you gave an example. It's like, it's like a garden. I'm like, yeah, I'm right there with you. I'm right there with you when we talk about divine order.
Yeah.
I have so been enjoying you, as always. I mean, I have different things for you, but you're one of those people, if I ever hear you coming somewhere, I can pay for somebody and say, just go, you're going to love it, and not worry about, oh, my God. Because you just have a way of bringing, I would say, what we already know in a new way. It's like you take what we already have, and you just move things around here and there. It's still the same thing, and it's like, oh, I didn't see that view. I wonder, I think there's a game like that where you can do different shapes. And as you were talking, you know, you just, it's the same thing. You're not adding anything more. You're not taking anything away, but you just kind of rearrange the way we look at it with your, you know, your energy, your description, your examples, and just something that's deeper than all of that, your consciousness, and even deeper than that. And because when you were talking about divine order, I thought of a family member who said to me, you know, now that I've had my garden, I feel like it's helping me on my spiritual practice, because she's not the type to kind of sit down and meditate, but she decided she wants to start gardening, and it had nothing to do with being more spiritual. She just wanted to be more, you know, just be able to go outside her house, get some tomatoes, some lettuce. She said, but it's really changing my spiritual practice. And I remember when she was telling me, I got it. And now I'm getting even some more. And I was thinking, I wonder if most of us have a garden, we'll grasp the spiritual principle even on a deeper level. Because when you plant the seed, I don't need to Google what I need to do for the seed to grow, as long as I remember to water it, clear the weeds, put the manure, whatever I need to do. But I let nature take care of it. And so as I listen to you, last week we talked about possibility. It's like we have to give ourselves permission to get out the way, to just say, oh, it's already done. Let me just develop myself so I can be in alignment with what's already done. And I can't say this enough. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for saying yes, because you make a difference in my life.
Thank you. After, I know you have to do the break. There is another class that people might be interested in called Manifesting from the Inside Out, which is a three-part webinar series.
Mm-hmm.
Three Tuesdays coming up in a couple of weeks at noon Pacific time. And it's really geared up to be able to do with people long distance.
Manifesting from the inside out. You know, I want to say something about WeCirculate. Mm-hmm. For those who know about it or those who don't, I want to share briefly my experience. I don't know if anybody's taught it the way you did. The idea of WeCirculate, where you give from what you weren't even expecting. It's not what you earn. It's not your wage. It's just somebody took you out for dinner. Somebody bought you something, or, you know, so just anything. You go to a grocery store, you get more than you were planning to get, and you're just on top. And being part of that process has really opened me up. Now I find myself saying, boy, I can't even begin to count in money how much this will be if I'm giving 10% of what I'm getting, because there's so much more.
Exactly.
And from consciousness, from a deeper place, I've just learned to really shift the, okay, I'm looking for the abundance, I'm trying to develop a abundance consciousness, to abundance is everywhere. I can't even catch up. So when I do contribute my part to WeCirculate, I feel like I'm tied in 1% of the 10%. It's so much more that is coming at me. It's like, okay, Spirit, I can't even add this up, because I just see in so many, in the simplest of ways, that I am being resourced, that I'm being blessed, that, you know, I'm just like, okay, I'm going to be okay with the 10% that I give. I'm going to give what I can calculate, but there's just no way. Now I understand you can't be God-given. I never understood what that meant. Because if I start to give 10% of everything that I wasn't expecting, I needed some instance today. I didn't go out. I was home. I had somebody to buy it for me. If I was to just calculate all of that, the traffic and the gas and the energy that took my brother to get it for me, and it's like, I'll just still be trying to calculate everything. We just cannot. I mean, the human mind cannot even wrap itself about what true abundance is. We just got to get in alignment with it. So
you're absolutely right, and I want to appreciate you with your dedication for that. We have established a website, and people can create their own donor account. You can even do it via text. You can do it from your mobile phone. Just whenever some good comes your way, you can go there, and your information is already stored. Just put in the amount, push button, and you can keep track as well of, you know, what you're doing and what you're giving. And it allows us to also see what's going on in people's lives. We have a Facebook, you know, chat, and people are blogging and letting us know what's going on. And I'm telling you, that's just 30 people. That's just 30 people. Can you imagine if it were 100 people or, you know, thousands of people? It's our goal to take this concept viral, because it's so simple. You don't have to know anything. You don't have to believe anything. You don't have to read anything. You don't have to study anything. Just live.
Mm-hmm.
Just to live and notice how good God is to you. And I tell you, it changes lives.
Yes.
It changes lives.
It does.
And thank you for participating in that.
Oh, you're welcome. I need to thank you. You know, because I remember there was a time I went grocery shopping, and I've done this for years, for a long time, far too long. Like when I leave the grocery store, I'm thinking, oh, my God, I spent that amount. Oh, okay, well, I'm just going to trust there's going to be more. Now I'm able to go to the grocery store, and rather than think the money that I gave, I'm looking at what I'm taking home with me. That's an exchange. So it's not like, oh, gosh, I don't have any money until end of the month, end of the week, end of whenever, or I don't know when the next month is coming. I can say, oh, look what I get is in the exchange. And I really, really thank you for the idea. It's like a keeping a financial journal that pays back instantly. And,
exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, I use it to push myself. I tithe way more than, you know, a full 10% of everything that I get and have for years. And what I've noticed is that sometimes people can get smug with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, yeah, I tithe. It's an auto tithe or whatever, and you know, which is wonderful because they don't have to think about it, and it's just there. But there's a way sometimes you can just get on automatic pilot and
mm-hmm.
get into an idea of, oh, I already did that, so I'm good, I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
But what this practice does is it keeps me showing that there's always more, that God is always blessing me with more. And I get to be actively engaged. So, yes, there are things that are automatically, you know, debited or whatnot. It's sort of like my regular tithe out of the things that I know. But I just love this kind of Easter egg hunt in life.
Yes.
Just noticing all the phenomenal ways that things work out. The discounts. You know, you thought it was going to cost $400.
Yes.
It cost one.
Yes.
You know, or just the thing you thought you were going to have to buy, you don't have to buy it because somebody's going to lend it to you.
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever. It happens in so many different ways. And it's part of that divine order.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of the divine order where we begin to realize, wow, I don't have to stress.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't have to stress. The universe is providing for me all the time.
I want to stay with the divine order of money for a minute, if you don't mind. Well, I want to speak. I want to say something. I want to hear your thoughts. And it's for all of us that are listening right now. I find myself listening for. Interesting. Well, playing back in my head this conversation about money and spirituality, money and living my dreams, my passion, being on purpose, the kind of conversation I've heard clients, friends talk about when it comes to money. Yeah, I want to live the vision, but, you know, I still got to make sure I pay my mortgage. And I've heard, I mean, I doubt if anybody listened to the show can say I've never heard that kind of conversation. Actually, it may have been you said it. I've said stuff like that myself. And this Sunday, I went to one of the spiritual living centers to see a mutual friend of ours, Reverend Mary Louise Ruffner. She was speaking there. I love that woman. She's just amazing. My life is so, I am so, so grateful. Sorry, I got to go off here. I'm grateful for people who are in my life. I am surrounded by spiritually grounded women in my life, and you're definitely one of them, and I'm so grateful. Now, how do I make that into money and do a recirculate? I'll figure that out. Because really, and I'm serious. I'm going to make a note to myself. I'm going to contribute something for that. Because you, Reverend Mary Louise Ruffner, you, I can't even begin to put in words how you've helped me be who I am today, to walk boldly, And I guess it just ties into the conversation. And a friend of mine saw me. I haven't seen her in a while. And she said, what are you doing? I said, oh, you know, I got my business. I got the radio show. I got the coaching. And I'm doing counseling and everything. And this is the second time she's asked me the question. The first time she asked me was probably about a year ago. She asked again. She said, but how are you making money? And for a minute, there was this little part of me. That part of me used to be very loud, like, oh, boy, oh, boy. And I just thought, through doing my work. Because that is the truth.
Very good.
Through doing my work. Mm-hmm. Because money comes and wastes me sometimes. I can't even, I'm just like, wow, really? Okay, use words. This is radio. I can't explain it. And
yep.
When I talk about recirculate, we can sound like an infomercial. And if it does, good, because it will change your life. I love the fact that I can look at the history of how much I've donated, and that's 10% of the unexpected money? Wow. Now, what I want to really ask you to speak on is the idea, because I feel like even those of us in the spiritual community, we still have, it's like we're serving God and money. And in a society, it's almost like, yeah, I believe in God, but you know money is the big God. And maybe something, whatever, even if it has to do with divine order or not, but just want you to speak on it to maybe help us in really collapsing the idea. Yeah, I'll leave it at that. Collapsing the idea. I'll leave it right there. I'll leave it hanging.
Well, in Scripture, it says that you can't serve both God and mammon.
Mm-hmm.
And that word mammon has been interpreted to mean money or wealth. But that's not what the money means. That's not what the word is. The word is the lust and the desire after money. The greed.
Mm.
And it is true. You can't serve those two masters. You can't do that. You can't be sort of serving God and at the same time be driven by the lust or the riches of the world, that they will have a pull on you. But this notion that somehow money is bad or that God has something against wealth, not true. It's like, yes, you know, Jesus was poor. Jesus came from very humble beginnings, which I think, for reasons I'll say in a minute, was extremely important for the mission that he had, for the mission of oneness that he had. However, when you look at Scripture is full of some really, really rich people. Really rich people. David, King David, was rich. His son Solomon was rich. Abraham was rich. Job was rich. I mean, you could go, you know, even Moses was raised in the Pharaoh's house. There is nothing that says that somebody with money cannot serve God. You know, once again, there's a misinterpretation. When in the parable of Jesus speaking to the young man or the young ruler, when the young ruler says unto him, you know, I've done everything. I've followed the commandments. I've, you know, done everything that I should do. What else is there left? And he says, sell everything that you have and follow me. He says, and the young man was very sad at that response. And Jesus is quoted as saying, at
that point, what is interpreted in the King James Version to say, it would be easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it would be for a rich man to get into heaven. Now, first off, that word rich does not mean wealthy in the sense of money, up with self. Rich as in proud kind of a rich, where you are so identified with what you have. Not that you have it, but that your sense of who you are is derived from your having it. I'm going to say that again. Not that you have it, and this could be about anything, your health, your wealth, your relationships, your what. It isn't that you have it. It's when your sense who you are and your possibility and your definition of yourself is attached to what you have. Then it's a problem. Second off, Aramaic, the Hebrew dialect that Jesus spoke, only has 600 words. That's all that it has. And the words are recycled for many things. It's not unlike the English language. You can just look around the room, wherever you are, and take a look at so many things that have multiple meanings. You know, the light. You know, my God, light is a fire, light is in color, light is in weight, light is in lacking substance, you know, light is, I mean, it's just all these different lights or floor. Mm-hmm. You know, the floor you stand on, you know, to be floored, it's the floor, it's like as low as something can go. I mean, you know, it's like there's all these different ways, and you have to know within the context of the sentence what it is that we're talking about. The same word in Aramaic that means camel also means rope. The exact same word. And it is an idiomatic expression about rope through the eye of a needle. Now, if you really think about it, what would it take to get a rope through the eye of the needle? I know a lot of people thought that camel through the eye of the needle was talking about these big gates that they would have, and you'd have to unpack and kind of try to get the camel through there and whatnot. But no, although it would get you to some of the same place conceptually, but what would you have to do with a rope to get it through the eye of a needle? Have to thin it out.
Yes.
You'd have to thin it out. That's what it speaks of, is that you can't get your big head. You can't get your puffed up ego. That's not going to work. Then you're going to have to thin that out. Jesus spoke of that all the time when he used to tell people, look, the tax collectors and the harlots are going to get there before the rest of you. Because you're too puffed up with yourself. There's nothing intrinsically bad about money. When Jesus was throwing over the money changers on the temple, it wasn't about money. It was about a corrupt system that was being developed of money changers and the way that people were being made to pay these exorbitant fees in order to get into the temple, and, you know, like sort of like fines and taxes and all the rest of this stuff. And he was just like, no. No. Not that there's anything wrong with having money, but you're desecrating the temple by doing this, by turning it into this
you know, like a stock exchange or something. You know, you're missing the point here.
Mm.
It was heresy. I mean, the temple was the equivalent of the Supreme Court, the White House, and if we had a Vatican, the Vatican, all in one. When he went up there and turned over the money changers, that was like burning the flag on the 4th of July.
Oh, wow. Ooh.
I mean, really.
Wow.
I mean, he knew this was it. When he did that, that was like the last thing he did.
Mm.
When he did that, it was going to be over. But it was that kind of protest against the system.
Mm.
Not against having money. There's nothing about being rich that is inherently evil, and there is nothing about poor that is inherently good.
No, that's right. I'm with you on that one. Mm. Mm. The great thing about this show is for me, I get to have my one-on-one with you. So I have a question for you, Reverend, in my one-on-one. So as you know, I'm a coach, and I get my clients saying, yeah, I know, I want to follow my passion. I want to really live out loud, but, you know, I got to pay my bills. What can I tell them?
Well, yes, you know. We do have to pay our bills. They have to switch the but
mm-hmm.
to an and.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I want to live my passion and really do what I'm supposed to do, and I want to pay my bills.
Mm-hmm.
It's very different from I want to do my passion, what I'm supposed to do, but...
Mm-hmm.
I have to pay my bills. What energetically, Celeste, are you there?
Yeah, Celeste. She's
yes, I am.
Okay.
Right
energetically, what's the difference in that you feel? Yeah, I want to do my passion. I want to do what I'm supposed to do, and I want to pay my bills. I want to do my passion. I want to do what I want to do, but...
Mm-hmm.
I have to pay my bills.
Something's
mm-hmm.
missing.
What's the difference between those two?
Well, it's what do you say? Like you can't serve two. I think when you get to that butt, your butt gets in the way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I want to do my passion, but I got to pay my bills. It's like you're negating yourself in the process.
Right. Is you've already made an exclusion.
Yes.
You've already created a sense of separation. You're not living in possibility consciousness. The moment that you say, I want to do my passion, blah, 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 and I want to pay my bills, that creates something completely different.
Mm-hmm.
And let me give you an example. What I mean, it creates something completely different, is that and I want to pay my bills doesn't just mean that you will get all the money that you need to pay all the bills that you think you have to pay. You may just have fewer bills.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
No, I'm really serious. I know, right?
You're
know,
right.
I'm reminded of something that just happened around here not too long ago where this woman, she's a landscaper. And she's lived in this house for 12 years. She got notification that she was going to have to move in 30 days, and she didn't know what to do. She had all these plants, and she had all these things. And she said, you know what, I'm just going to use all these tools and everything that I've learned. So she just started putting it out in the universe. I want this and that, and I want
I want a place where I can really garden and landscape and all that. And I want to pay half of what I'm paying now.
Mm.
That's what she put out there. And lo and behold, there's a person here.
Mm.
Somebody that she knows in the spiritual community has a beautiful spot right on the edge of one of the national forests here, about 8 minutes from the office. And what she's looking for is somebody to come in. It's a very large acreage, and take care of the place.
Mm.
So it's this complete win-win. The woman who's the landlord now isn't having to pay what she was having to pay
mm-hmm.
an outside party to come in and do.
Mm-hmm.
The extra living unit is already on the property. And the person who's moving in gets to have all the landscaping she wants to do, but doesn't have to pay all that rent that she used to pay.
Mm-hmm.
So they've both saved money.
mm-hmm.
You know, no, she's not collecting the rent, but she was paying more to her landscaper than that rent would have been.
Mm-hmm.
So they're both saving money.
Mm-hmm.
And she gets to follow her passion. She gets to follow her passion and pay her bills. But as you start to follow your passion, everything shifts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Things change.
I'm a witness.
Doors open up.
Mm-hmm.
It's the big and.
Mm-hmm.
I was preaching about that on Sunday. I said, the moment that you start talking about possibility and all what you know that can happen and the word but comes out your mouth, know in that moment you're going astray. The moment you say but, I said, get your ifs, ands, and your buts out of the way. Because what we should be looking for are more places of inclusion. What we should be looking for is, how can I use this principle over here? And how can I use it over there? How can I use this thing that I know works in health with for money? How can I use this thing that I know works in, you know, business visioning and development in my personal relationships? More places to expand it to, not what's the exception. Not where are these principles not going to work, but how many places can I prove that
yes.
it does work?
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you get into that divine order, that question that you were having before, Celeste, about, like, well, what mm-hmm. do you do?
Yeah.
That's part of the
makes
that's
you part of all.
Exactly. That's mm-hmm. part of the practice of what you do.
Yeah.
What I explain to people is that you don't need to know more. What we need is consistency.
Oh.
We don't need to know more. We just need to apply whatever it is that we do know in more and more places.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. If you know love heals, then don't start worrying about what do I do about the mortgage. Love heals. Practice loving your bills.
Mm-hmm.
Practice loving the creditors.
My cat disagrees.
No, your cat said amen. Your cat said amen.
You know, love
yes,
heals. Practice
love
loving. Heals. Practice loving yourself instead of judging yourself for the debt you're in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, practice loving the ones that you think, you know, your baby daddy that is late all the time on the money or not paying at all, or that company that you think screwed you out of your pension, or like whatever it is, you start mustering up the love. And as King reminded us, I'm not the emotional boss. This is not the affectionate emotional love. It's the oneness love. It's the oneness. It is not the oneness because we're alike. It's the oneness in spite of the fact that I think we're not alike.
Mm-hmm.
It's a choice. It's a volition. Because when we don't do that, we separate. And we think it's about money. But it may not be about money. That's what Jesus tried to explain to people.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you know, don't come up here in church giving your offerings and your alms. Don't come up here giving all your money. If you got problems with your brother, you need to go home and handle your business. That's what you need to do. You can't buy your way into forgiveness up in here. You need to do some work. I'm telling you what I know. People think they got money issues or they're stuck on money. That's usually not it. There's a false idea somewhere.
Right.
I'm not enough. Not a friendly universe.
Mm-hmm.
It never works out. It won't last. You know, am I worthy?
Mm-hmm.
There's some false idea up underneath that it's about. And we need to get to work on healing that.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't even have to, it doesn't even matter what arena you work on that end, because that false idea is going to show up everywhere. It's going to show up in your money. It's going to show up in your relationships. It's going to show up in your career. It's going to show up in your body. It's just going to show up everywhere. Your money. So once it gets healed, like a domino effect. So I get over that competitive thing or whatnot I've had with you as my sister, and lo and behold, what do you know? The financial doors start opening up. Because I was shut down and I was angry. And now I'm open. You know, goodness is floating all around, but we're not grabbing it because something within us says we're not worthy. And it just keeps hovering around, waiting for us to receive it.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Rocky, you be all in my business. You have like a spiritual x-ray. I know you channel. But, I mean, what in the world? I can't even do anything but just say, I surrender. Yes. Yes. And I'm going to get my behind out the way. No more buts after my sentences. I promise.
No more buts. I'm
working on that. No more buts.
Every time there's a but, we're looking for an out.
Oh.
Every time there's a but, we're looking for an excuse.
Yes. Yes.
Wow. I'm going to be hearing that. Every time there's a but, we're looking for an out.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to make sure I have that right.
Yep.
Okay. Fine.
We're looking for an excuse for why we don't have to do the work. We're looking for some excuse as to, you know, to why it's not going to work. Well, yeah, you know, I would forgive her, you know, but
you know, she's not going to forgive me back, so, you know, why should I do this? You know, yeah, I know I can pray, you know, but I know they're going to lay people off anyway, so, you know, why am I going to worry about, you know, all that? So then we don't do it. What is an escape clause?
Yes, it is. It is. I so agree.
And brings you in.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different story. You say, well, I know I'm not going to, I know I need to forgive, and she may not forgive me back. Okay, now the responsibility sits in my lap. Can you feel that?
Yes.
The responsibility sits in my lap. What am I going to do? And anybody who's made amends in any kind of 12-step program knows exactly what I'm talking about. It's not about what they're going to do. It's about what you're going to do.
Uh-huh.
Well, you know, I'd pray for my job window, but I know they're going to them pink slips. Well, then you really need to pray.
I think we have a caller. Whoa, let's do this. Let me make sure, and because we're having some issues, but let me just double check that. Let's go here. 925, you alive? Okay. Right. Let me just double check. Okay, well, go ahead, Celeste. I'll be back. Let me see if I can reach them another way because I keep trying to get our attention. Celeste, are you there?
I can't hear you either.
Okay, good. Okay, go ahead.
Here we go. You are listening to Living in the Yes with the Reverend Dr. Deborah L. Johnson. The call-in number is 347-426-3346. Don't forget to press 1 on your keypad. The time is going so fast on this show, and we're about to end. So if you really want to get in, make sure that when we come to you, you say something so we don't miss your voice. In the meantime, Rev D, it's a powerful conversation. You've taken us so many places tonight, and I am so grateful to be a part of it and present.
Likewise.
I mean, really, because every time I think about divine order, I often think about it in terms of hierarchy. You know, when people talk about divine order, they usually talk about the man is the head of the house and all of these other things, but you've opened it up in such a way that we can really get to the root, to the fertility of how to make magic happen.
Mm-hmm.
So
and that
you.
Ain't divine order.
Thank you.
That's man-made stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I can't reach. We have some technical difficulty over there. And I don't know if I've said this before, but if I did, listeners, just forgive me. Rev D, I love you. I love you.
I
typed in the chat room, it's time. Let's start a campaign to have Rev D on Super Soul Sunday.
You are the second person to say that today?
Yeah, I caught it. I was like, yes, let's start a campaign to have Rev D on Super Soul
Sunday. You are the second one to say that And I have been thinking that for the past couple of days. You know, there actually is a thing going on now. There actually is, like, some kind of campaign voting thing going on.
Ah.
There really is. For,
okay.
For who people want to have on Super Soul Sunday, which is what made me really think about that just a couple of days ago. But you're the second person to say that to me today.
Mm-hmm. It is done. It is done.
And I have to admit, I keep seeing it.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and
yeah.
It's not egotistical or anything, but when I when I'm looking at the show, which I do fairly frequently, mm-hmm. I'm always thinking to myself, I could be there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just, it's just an awareness. It's not like a jealousy or envy or anything. Just, oh, I can do that. Put that intention out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're there.
Plus,
we're
certainly know enough people who know Oprah that it can happen.
And you know somebody who's very close to Oprah. So we're sending her the message right now. Yes. The hint is feel, deal, and heal. That's it. She's right there. We're sending a thought out right now. Yes. You know, because as you said, it's just we all benefit when truth is expressed.
Yes.
We all benefit.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Well, and I do have to just, you know, give due props. I was extremely pleased when Inyala Von Zandt mentioned me by name in mm-hmm. her first Master Life class with Oprah. Because she didn't have to do that. Mm-hmm. But she actually gave me credit for the feel, deal, and heal. And that became the theme of that particular show. And I appreciate that because everybody's using each other's stuff all the time and don't necessarily make those acknowledgments. Mm-hmm. And I was really grateful doing that.
Mm-hmm. You know what, Reverend D? This is one I want to encourage all listeners. I can't imagine you not being in agreement with this. And so this is a simple exercise where your butt is not big enough to get in the way. It's very simple. You don't have to go, well, maybe they won't see my post. No, no, no. All you've got to do right now, whenever you think of Rev D, the difference he's making in your life and what you learn, or maybe you're growing through something and she pops up in your awareness, just see her talking to Oprah. Just see that view. See Oprah with a yellow top. And see Reverend D just sitting there, poised mm-hmm. as she knows it is. That's all you got to do. The vision is already out there. We're stepping into the spiritual substance and declaring and yielding, ushering what we want. It's already done. So just see, I see it right now. Right now, just see Rev D on Super Soul Sunday. See people tweeting what she's saying. See people saying, oh, my God, who is this woman? You know, just whatever you've ever said about people you've met for the first time and they blew you away, just hold that intention. Hold that vision. See it. See it. So when it does manifest in the physical, it's like you're watching a rerun of what you've already seen before.
Amen.
That's what I'm talking about. It's done.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I
appreciate that. And I can feel something very big on the horizon.
Mm-hmm.
I feel it. And, you know, I just pray and know that whatever it is, I'm ready for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're ready.
That I'm ready. And, you know, it's like it says in Scripture, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight.
Mm-hmm. Ah, what a show.
Yes, what a show indeed.
And Celeste, before you jump, I got to say this. I've got to say this. And I was not reprimanded, but a friend of mine pointed something out about me today. So, and I made a decision to let that go. So I'm going to do this. every listener, I don't care if you're listening on an archive or listen live or 10,000 years from now if they're still using MP3 files, and if We Circle is still active, go to innerlightministries.com, and at the far right you see contribute. Click that and donate something. Not to Reverend D, but for the spiritual food that you've gotten that will take you through so much more and attract more to you. This is your way of saying thank you. That's my, well, it doesn't have to be a challenge, really. That's my request. There it is. Actually, right, I'm done.
Yes. I appreciate that. I honestly do. And we do receive. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of my Jewish brothers and sisters say, from your lips to God's ears.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Rev D, in the next minute that you have, are there any final parting words that you have for us as we release you to your night and to the rest of your ministry?
What I would say is, know that you're ready. Sometimes I can be talking about things and it can seem so heavy or so much over your head, or, oh, how am I ever going to step into that or whatnot. The fact that you're listening means you're ready.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care where or when or how, if you are listening to my voice, you are ready.
Mm-hmm.
And anything that you see in me or the hosts or anybody else that you may be listening to or studying, that's you. That's you. You're just seeing parts of yourself reflected in us. Don't just admire it in us. Let it be a mirror to you of your greatness and who you are.
Mm-hmm.
That's my message.
Thank you.
That's a powerful message. Thank you so much, Ravdi. And thank you to all of you on the phone lines and in the chat room. Have enjoyed this amazing conversation about divine order. I want to invite you to come back next week. Ravdi will be talking about release on Living in the Yes. Every Tuesday night at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. And we are going to release the show tonight with Bridget Bryant, Earth is Spinning. You can find her music, or you can find her on her Facebook page at Bridget Bryant on Facebook. Look her up. Let her know we enjoyed her music. Don't miss Embassy Safir at 7 p.m. Eastern on Thursdays on The Play Experience, and a celestial show with Celeste Morgan at 8 p.m. Eastern every Sunday. Have a wonderful night. We'll see you next time.
Thank you, Reverend D.
Thank you. You take care.
Bye-bye.
Don't fret none, babe. I don't want the same old for your silent dress. But it's all okay. Tonight.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.